Welcome to the Organic MD podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Damon Miller.
And I'm Carlisle Koash. We're calling or talking to you from Organic MD Media. Welcome to another podcast.
And today we're going to be talking about something a little more serious. We're going to be talking about radioactive isotopes in the environment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, as a I am a board certified radiologist and qualified to be radiation safety officer in hospitals when I work there. And because of that, people send me things. So I got this, somebody sent me a story. This is from an odd place. It's from the Grand Prairie city in Alberta, Canada, the Grand Prairie Daily Herald Tribune. And they were reporting on a student named Bronwyn Dela Cruz. This was from March 25th, 2014. And she had won the gold medal in a science contest. I think she's a 10th grader. And she had had this bright idea. Everybody was talking about all this radiation stuff from Fukushima, you know, three reactors melted down and it's putting radioactive stuff into the Pacific Ocean. So she had this thought, you know, let me get hold of a radiation counter, Geiger counter. And she started buying foods out of the grocery store and just was testing them to see if they had radiation. And what she found is that they had a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
She was where again?
I think she was actually in Vancouver. This story was out of a paper out of Alberta.
Well, yeah, that would make, then she's on the coast.
Yeah, and so she was buying, and it turned out it was the seaweed products in the stores that had the highest count. And she wasn't quite sure what to make of this, but what was interesting is that, you know, there's a maximum limit that food is allowed to have in terms of just the number of radioactive counts per minute, you know, coming from food. And some of the stuff she was buying out of the stores had double the rate that's supposed to be allowed.
Awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that great? And so,
about, you know, not only can you, you know, if you're eating that really healthy apple for your teeth and it's radioactive, your teeth will glow.
Yeah,
so you can really see them when you're brushing them.
Yeah. The apples haven't been affected yet. It's okay. The seaweed. So she,
oh, that's right. You said the seaweed.
It was interesting, you know, the story though, she wasn't quite sure what to do, but the school's trying to raise money to buy her a better Geiger counter, you know, so she can do this. But, you know, there was, I did a talk, and we're going to put that up online. I did a talk on radioactive isotopes and the health issues that are associated with those. And one of the reasons is people talk about radiation, and it's a complex subject, but it's pretty understandable. But people will do things like they'll say, oh, the radiation from eating that seaweed wasn't as much as flying across country on a jet plane, you know, where at high altitudes you're exposed to the cosmic radiation from space because you don't have the atmosphere to filter it out. But, you know, the ionizing radiation like cosmic rays or ionizing radiation that's used in diagnostic imaging, you know, an X-ray or a chest X-ray, people are always making these comparisons. That's just, it's such an apples and oranges comparison. Isotopes, the problem with isotopes is that an isotope, you eat it, you know, something like cesium, which is one of the big ones coming out of Fukushima. Cesium looks like potassium. It lodges in your body and your muscles and connective tissue, and it sits there for the rest of your life, irradiating the local tissues.
Yeah.
Whereas a cosmic ray, you know, high-energy cosmic rays from space, yeah, you may be exposed to them if you're in a plane, but they're of such high energy. This may not sound intuitive, but this is the way it works. They're of such high energy that they pass through the plane, they pass through you, they go out the other side of the plane, they pass through the earth, they come out the earth on the other side, and they never interact with anything. And so even though, yeah, you saw that radiation, if it doesn't interact with any of your molecules or any of your tissue, it's a very little consequence.
They don't set up shop and,
no.
You know.
Rarely they might interact with something, but most of the time they pass through you, the same way light would pass through a glass of water. But these isotopes, even though they're not that bad, any one of them, they get into you and they just sit there. And so they're bad. So anyhow, I just, you know, go to organicmd.com and just search for isotopes or radioactive isotopes. You'll find that talk I gave. We're going to put it up as a video on one of our posts.
Where was the talk done?
The talk was done just, I'm a part of this group called the Academy of the Comprehensive Integrative Medicine, ACIM, and we do these occasional talks online. So it's also archived there. You can find it at acimconnect.com. But since it's my talk, they allow me to use it. So it was just a webinar that we did about that. And there's another book just that I think, you know, if you want to read about this, you know, this whole thing with Fukushima. What I mean, are you following this story from Fukushima?
A little bit. I mean, the challenge for me is just it's fairly sobering, any of the news. And I think a lot of the news aren't necessarily telling us what's really going on or the effects that the radiation is potentially having. I mean, the information control seems to be such that I don't know if I'm getting the news, so I don't wind up paying much attention, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, they actually just passed a law in Japan making it a crime to even talk about Fukushima. Oh. But what people are saying is that this is a far worse accident. You know, it involved three nuclear reactors, not one. They all melted down, melted through probably all that, those tons and tons of radioactive material. God knows where they are now. But they keep saying it's worse than Chernobyl, you know, that reactor that melted down about 30 years ago in the Ukraine. And
it's now a very popular Hollywood location filming site now.
Yeah, nobody goes there, believe me. Even the wolves don't like it. But Chernobyl, there's a book. It was put out by the New York Academy of Sciences. I think you can find it on Amazon. It was called Chernobyl, Consequences of the Catastrophe for People in the Environment. And it was a bunch of papers from Soviet scientists about what they saw in people, and it's pretty sobering. So if you just go to Amazon and search for Chernobyl catastrophe, you'll find that book from the New York Academy of Sciences. If you're serious about, you know, what we're looking at is the long-term consequences from this reaction at Fukushima, you probably want to read this. And, you know, it's not just these reactors. They're, you know, we've been blowing up bombs above ground. There was Hiroshima, Nagasaki, all the above ground nuclear testing we did, you know, contamination and pollution from multiple nuclear power plants and plants that created nuclear weapons. So there are a lot of reasons that there are radioactive isotopes polluting our environment. It's not just, you know, these couple of dramatic reactors like Three Mile Island or Chernobyl or Fukushima, but it's just something that's going to be in the news more and more in the coming year as this you know, mess just gets messier over there.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to devote a podcast to it. And again, just search OrganicMD. You'll find, if you just look up radiation, you'll find our post with that talk. Thank you.
I did see a great documentary about that area. I think it was called The Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom. That was really wonderful, kind of talking about how that community is trying to rebuild and recover and relate to this kind of unbelievable experience.
Okay, the tsunami and the cherry blossoms. We'll put a link to that.
Yeah, I'll look and see. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it, but I think there's just some amazing stories out there about this, about what happened. And, you know, we talk a lot about people's resilience and how they recover and heal and grieve and what they do in terms of ritual to move those things through themselves. And when you're in a situation like that, which is so devastating, it's not just you have your neighbor die, but you have half of your village is gone. How do you begin to even process? And this particular documentary, it's very short, really looks at how this group of people are looking at